I must say, I am thrilled that you are here today. I'm thrilled to have people that have come many times. I'm thrilled to have people for the first time. There's someone in the congregation that I will be texting his mother and told him I saw him in church, but I won't say it out loud because it's a good thing. But that is a reason for joy. And on this day, I'm going to read a different scripture than you have in there. It's about on page 84. I'm reading out of Luke. Luke 24, 1 through 12. So I'll give you a minute if you want to read along with me. It's around at page 84. Hear now the word of God. But on the first day of the week, at the early dawn, the women came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. And when they went in, they found that the stone was rolled away from the tomb. And when they went in, they did not find his body. And while they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling white clothes stood beside them. And the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other woman with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to the apostles to be an idle tale, and they did not believe the women. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in, and he saw the linen cloths by themselves. And then he went home, amazed at what had happened. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. I wonder if you heard in that scripture the reaction to the first Christian sermon ever preached. It did not get a very positive response. It seemed like an idle tale, and they did not believe them. I mean, the woman had returned from this empty tomb and told the 11 disciples and all the others gathered there what they had experienced. And those disciples said it seemed like an idle tale. Silliness. Hopeful thinking from a grief-filled gaggle of women. I got to tell you, idle tale is really a too gentle of a translation. The word idle is the same root as our word for delirious. They were really saying the women were kind of crazy. They were having hallucinations. These are the kind of folks that you would have recommended to be put away. Or in San Francisco, if they were on a bus and it was crowded, you would let them have the whole row to themselves. See, I suspect that the women kind of understood the disciples' response. I mean, how could you really blame the disciples? It was just a bit earlier when the women were making their way to Jesus' tomb. They were there to take care of his corpse. They brought spices that they hoped they would never have to use to anoint his body. And they walked with their broken hearts and their dashed hopes along the path where the grip of Jesus' death seemed to tighten around their hearts and squeeze out every last little bit of hope. And they came in the early dawn. And because of that reference to early dawn, it's why we have sunrise services. And when I got up, very early this morning and got my newspaper, I could see the lit cross of Mount Davidson. And I thought of all the people that were gathered there, and I gave thanks that I wasn't with them. Because I just don't like sunrise services. It's partly because I don't like morning when it doesn't start before 9. But it's also because for all the years that I was an associate pastor, somehow I got the gift of doing sunrise services. And who would come to those were the youth that got the gift of doing the services and their parents and 2 or 3 other brave souls. And what mostly happened at those sunrise services were they were the service of the gray. It seemed to me what happened is we would go from light gray to a little bit of lighter gray. And many times there would be that morning kind of misty fog that would be there. And I longed for bright sunrise services with rays coming down and colors and warmth on my face. But it never happened in all my experience. And I realized today that it probably wasn't supposed to. It was the early dawn, or what was called the deep dawn. The deep dawn is that indefinable time between darkness and light. That time when you decide either the promises in which you believe are true or the promises in which you believe are a lie. And the women stood there in the midst of this deep dawn, and they found the stone of their Lord rolled away. And what were they thinking? One more thing. Now they've taken his body from us so we can't do our last care. I don't know how they did it, but they got the guts to look in that tomb. And he wasn't there. Their worst fears were true. And I bet they said, how much worse can it get than this? And then out of nowhere, 2 men appeared. The other scriptures tell us that they were dazzling white, that they were angels. There they were in the midst of this dark gloom. And then the women weren't simply perplexed. Now they were confused and terrified, and they bowed down to the earth. They fell to their knees in terror. And they hadn't even heard a word spoken yet. And then they hear from these 2 messengers, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember what he told you. In the midst of their pain and their grief and their exhaustion, their heartbreak, they are told to remember, to break free of the amnesia of grief, to break free of the heartbreak, of just going through the motions of living and to live again. You see, they didn't really remember any of his miracles or his words on that gloomy morning. The weight of their loss seemed to cloud their memory of the things he had said and done that had changed them. They forgot that he had spoken to them and they saw their futures different. They saw hope and promise and that God would really make a difference in their lives and in the world. But somehow, even in their grief and fright and terror, they started to remember bit by bit, piece by piece. One pastor imagines it went like this. I remember, one must have said to another, I remember how he told us that he would be handed over and crucified and risen. How could I ever forget that? I remember too, said another. I remember how he said it was impossible for mortals, but for God nothing was impossible. How could I have forgotten that? I remember how he said the kingdom of God is coming near, was here, was among us in him. How could I have ever forgotten that? I remember that he said death and evil would never have the last word. I remember now. And they began to remember his promises as they reminded each other of bits and pieces of the story. Each little word began to renew their hope again, and a glimmer of faith was revived in each. And their belief sparked a bit of hope in another. Did you notice they had not even seen the risen Christ yet? It was enough for them to just run and tell the other disciples he had risen. They couldn't explain it. They could only tell what they experienced and what their hearts knew and what they remembered. And to their story, only one went. It was Peter, but that was enough in that moment. Reminds me of Martin Luther King Jr., who said, "Faith is the first step when you can't see the whole staircase." See, they just had to take one step at a time. See, Easter isn't about trying to prove the resurrection, of finding a story compelling enough to convince you. I spent all day looking for a really great story, and then I remembered it was already here. Give it up, Maggie. I mean, I was so shameless that I went and heard Annie Lamont yesterday speak. I was on a radio show, and there was a little card you could fill out that telling a story about how you got here. It's called West Coast Live. So I wrote, "I should be writing my Easter sermon. Annie Lamont, I could use some help." I thought she could not resist, so I waited for her interview. She gave me nothing. And then I remembered the words of Will Willimon. He said, "I've been trying to argue people to believe in Christ." He said, "I found it to be a frustrating experience. If I had the wits to argue someone into belief in the risen Christ, someone smarter than me could talk me out of it. I believe that deep in life, there is a changing thing that happens, that the belief in Christ is not caused by arguments or a really good story or reason, but an encounter with the risen Christ, a peace, a remembering. We believe simply because he comes to us and gives us something that we cannot give ourselves, a reason to believe, a way to go, a path out of doubt towards faith." I find myself on this Easter morning oddly comforted that those near Jesus had trouble understanding the resurrection. Easter is perplexing, and belief is not easy. One professor told me, "If you don't find the resurrection a least bit hard to believe, then you're not taking it very seriously." So friends, as you come, as you are, with some questions and some doubts, welcome to this people of faith. Yet even in spite of it, there is a spirit in this place. There are words and music and things for our eyes and our ears to remind us that something real has taken place beyond us, more powerful, perplexing, and joyful. And we come to church to get glimpses of that, of remembering together, of believing that we are loved children of God, and that walking in the way of Christ is a way worth living. When we hear those words, "Why don't you stop looking for Jesus among the dead? He's found among the living," we're reminded and given courage that we too can let go some of our old ways, of our old fears, of our old hates, and believe that we too can change, that there is something alive in us, and that God is doing a new thing in the world, in us, through us, in us, and in spite of us. I mean, you'll see today something amazing. 8 new members are going to join the church. 2 adult baptisms. I mean, really? It's not like I've given them a car. I mean, there are not a lot of membership perks. I'm going to want you to work hard. You have to pray. You have to be with people. And even if you don't get along, you got to stay because God's doing something here. Ooh, we want to join. But they do because they have had a glimpse, a taste, a sense that God is doing something in them and God is doing something in you. Okay, I did hear one story at the Ferry Building where I heard the radio show yesterday. I'm walking along and this bright young woman said, "I am doing Easter at home for the first time and I don't know what I'm doing." And I suspect she was talking about a meal, but that's not what this pastor heard. She said, "I am doing Easter anew in my home, in my life, and I don't know what I'm doing, and it doesn't matter." So I invite you on this Easter today to do Easter in a new way, to join this Christ, to join the others that say, he is risen indeed, and say hallelujah, the ones that understand and the ones that don't. For friends, we will remind each other, bring each other along. For Christ is with us. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen.